things I want to remind you of in the aspect of praise and worship. There's three things he appointed to me. He says, seek my face, sop up my presence, and show forth my glory. You might want to make a note of that in your prayer time and in time of ministering to the Lord. So you call it ministering to the Lord. Praise and worship acts as ministering to the Lord. Seek my face. Sop up my presence. In other words, soak my presence up. And then he said, you'll be able to show forth my glory. Those three things, put them in your prayer time and your Bible study time. You're searching for his face, seeking his face. Then when he revealed himself, he wants you to soak it up. And then the third part is automatically going to happen. The third part will happen. Because he'll begin to manifest. He began to show you things out of the ordinary. And it'll come up on your countenance that you're not regularly functioning. You're functioning from another system. Once you get God's face, get God's attention properly, and you stand in his presence long enough to show forth his glory, I'm repeating myself, happen automatically. It oozes out of you. It just, when you come in the presence of other people, they sense that there's another dimension, something else happening in your life. Father, we just thank you tonight as we welcome the Holy Spirit to help us to understand holy things out of your holy word. Holy men and women of God are here, and they're by internet around the world. Some circled in their homes. Some have Bible studies. Churches have studies that are listening to this time of ministry. We thank you for what you have revealed to us. Now help us release it in the heart of your people that they may become stronger, live longer, be more powerful in their lives, enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. Thank you for the kingdom of God. Thank you for the King, the Lord Jesus. He's alive, and we're so thankful. The Holy Spirit shall reveal the Father, reveal the Word, reveal the principles, reveal the path that we must travel to overcome, to win, and give you a good name. So anything here that need to be dealt with, any question here that need to be dealt with, the scripture will deal with it. We thank you for every person who's listening in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to have to look at three scriptures. We're talking about some benefits of praying in the spirit or praying in tongue or speaking in tongue. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 is our first opening. And you're going to have to, I'm going back into the mysteries and to the secrets and to the rhythm and to the timing, but the Spirit of God is going to show it to us another way in the beginning, so you can be alert and aware when the Lord speaks up to you, you'll be able to understand what he's saying. In 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Now they're talking about praying in the spirit. In another scripture we'll see it. But unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit, now very, very clear, in the spirit he speaketh what? Now, let's not get it mixed up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where they talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and divers kind of tongue. This is a prayer language. This is an Acts 2:4 deal, where it was in the upper room, and they all were filled with the Spirit. You remember that? Yeah. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, they spoke in tongue, right? Yeah. That's a prayer language. That's a prayer language that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that, but I want to emphasize that we have new people. But here it says, howbeit, when we speak in the spirit, no man understand howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, I want you to understand it, because I talked about mysteries, you remember? Spiritual mystery. And the Lord going to show you something tonight that you got to be ready for this. Because I'm going to tell you something in a few minutes after I read a few more scriptures that going to revolutionize your life. It's going to show you something. The Holy Spirit just showed it to me. It's real clear. So, and then there's another aspect of the importance of praying in the Spirit, and about the mysteries and about the secrets and about the rhythm and the timing. In Romans 8:26 now. Romans 8:26 is another powerful scripture we need to look at. This spiritual activity that is divinely given to us, it puts us on the cutting edge of the supernatural. Amen. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Answers that normally you do not have, but because of the Spirit and because of the mindset of God, the mindset of Jesus, the mindset of the Holy Spirit, the mindset of God's nature in the Word. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
See, the mindset of God's nature is in the Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But there must be revelation. See, it's not automatic. So here in Romans 8:26, it says something else about praying in the Spirit. It brings us into secrets and things that we can't know. It put us in a rhythm with the mind of the Spirit and the will of God. Here in the 26th verse, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Notice the word pray. But the Spirit in the class itself is a misprint, because we're talking about a person, the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. Go on in verse 27. Now watch, we're still talking about praying. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Know that that Spirit is capitalized, the Holy Spirit. And know the mind of the Holy Ghost. And because he maketh intercession for the saints, he has, again, an advantage of praying in the Spirit. You don't know what to do according to the will of God. And then it gives the climatic results, no matter what it is. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. One more scripture for foundation. Jude 20. If you got Jude 2:20, you got a bad Bible. Jude chapter 3, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, here he's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. You see that? He said real clear, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Now, this is what I want to say to you and what the Lord said to me. When we talk about praying in the Spirit, we talk about mysteries, we talk about secrets, you remember? We talked about rhythm, and we talk about timing, you remember? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he says, when you pray in the Spirit, our tongue opens how to travel in divine traffic. I'm not going to move till y'all get this. You see? Other words, when you pray in the Spirit, you're being given the mean whereby you can travel in supernatural traffic. Or let me say it another way. You travel in spiritual traffic, which is invisible, but you see where you're going. I gotta keep talking to you until you get it, because this is a hit for you tonight. This is something for you to go into another level of living. See, this the divine traffic, mysteries of divine traffic, you see? secrets, spiritual secrets, are divine traffic. You can't travel. That's why Jude said, the 19th verse said, you separate yourself from your senses. See, when you're praying in tongue, you are able to travel in divine, supernatural, spiritual, invisible, unknown to man traffic. No, man. But y'all, what's the matter with y'all? You see, and you don't know, if you don't have no idea, just hold, write that down, because many times when you're maneuvering through life and you're praying and you're seeking God's face, there are some special paths, yes, that he will take you that normally you wouldn't go. Your senses won't let you go. Your intellect won't let you go, but because you trust him. I think you could say it another way. To travel in the spirit, you have to become blind. You got to stop looking at circumstances. You got to stop looking at mountains. You got to stop looking at how it look. You have to just, one of the functions we're going to find about praying the spirit is one of the first steps of being led by the spirit. Because you become available for the spirit to lead you. Because he'd be leading you in another dimension. And if you're still in the natural, you're not going to go, because you're going to see the dog.
Yes, sir.
You follow what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? But when you're following God, you know, there's a dog, lion, whatever it is. You just go on like Daniel, just follow him on in the line then. That's where we got to go now. That's where we're going to go. You see what I'm saying? Because you know God can handle the line.
Yes.
All right. Now. So I want you to, I want to go back over praying in tongue. Help us synchronize us with the timing of God. I need to go back to the timing of God. Now I'll jump back to, turn to Psalm 102, verse 13. And Esther 4:14. Because these two divine time periods, selected supernatural moments. Come on now. Y'all don't rob me now. Selected supernatural moment. There are time when you're praying in the spirit, God will select some supernatural moment for you.
Yes.
And it's your slot.
Yes.
And when it take off, you got to be there.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. These are when you talk about God time, you're talking about God affording for you supreme moments. In other words, it is a time where God can stop everything else, stop all other traffic, and just let you through. I remember in Shana's first wedding, she got married twice. In Shana's first wedding, we went to New Orleans. They stopped all the traffic. Everything went on side. Everything. No, nothing coming in. Nothing going out. Just the wedding party going on. Well, you know, money will do that. Money will stop traffic, you know. You give the police enough money, he'll blow everybody off the road. Is it? So now, there are moments that you're going to have to recognize. And when you're praying in the spirit, that moment will, you listening? Register on your spirit, and you know it's time to move or it's time not to move.
Right.
Something might be passing by.
Yeah.
See, and your mind has a way that seems right to a man or to a woman, but the end thereof is death. But when you're praying in the spirit, righteousness reveals itself. What I mean when I say righteousness reveals itself, the right thing to do at the right time. I'm preaching harder than you, better than you listening. You see, these things, these apostolic, it's putting you in a position, for lack of a better word, to live ahead of the pack. Because now you know that any moment God can give you a divine moment. You know, God can stop the sun for you.
Yeah.
He can stop the moon and stop the stars from shining. You got to see him like that. You got to see God. God will hold up a whole universe for one child. Now, when you come to grip with that reality, you're walking now in divine traffic. You're walking in mysteries. You're walking in secrets now. You see, you're walking in divine rhythm. Everything else is like you're out of beat sometimes when you're functioning in the spirit. Look like you, like everybody else in beat, but you're out of beat. Everybody else in tune, you're out of tune. They even look at you like you're out of tune. But when the dust gets you flying, they'll find out who's out of tune. See. And so look for these moments. Look for, and do not be afraid when a lot of people are not traveling with you. They don't even know that route. It was open just for you. The Bible talks about there's a highway. And only the righteous are going to travel on it. But the righteous, listen to me, the righteous through praying in the Spirit, through understanding mystery, through understanding secrets, through understanding rhythm, through understanding time and what y'all call, the Spirit of God called divine traffic. Knowing how to travel in divine traffic, my God, you'll know how to handle things beyond the measurement of this world. Praying in tongues. They're talking about praying in the Spirit. These are some of the things that happen in praying in the Spirit. So praying in tongue helps synchronize. And we're talking about, when you say synchronize, we're talking about divine alignment. Positioning by the Spirit of God. In Psalm 102, verse 13, you see what it says? Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yeah, see that now? Look at that other time you say about time. The set time is come. Well, in praying in the Spirit, the time of favor and the set time will be known by you. In everything you deal with, there's always equal favor available. But you cannot function in favor in the natural. Not God favor. Because God has, you see, that's why I say it's a set time. It's a set time. But you will be aware of it as you pray in the Spirit. You synchronize. See, I told you time and timing is not the same. See, and we're talking about divine time. We're talking about time in the realm of the Spirit. Are you with me? All right, now. In the other verse I told you in Esther 4:14, it doesn't matter what the dilemma is. It doesn't matter if you're outnumbered. It doesn't matter what decree somebody else has set for you. It doesn't matter what the situation or the scenario look like, or what the bank said, or what the doctor said, or what the lawyer said, or what your neighbor said, or what anybody else said. When that set time comes, you can't be stopped. God always, you listen to me, always has a set time to bring deliverance to his children, no matter what they're going through, no matter who against them. When that set time come, everybody going to have to turn loose and move out of the way, because you're going to be moving in a divine path. Go ahead and get your answer tonight. That's what you're here for. Go ahead and get your answer. There's no reason you shouldn't. You watch it by internet. You should get your answer tonight. You should know that what you're dealing with cannot overpower you when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're traveling in divine traffic of the mysteries and the secrets and the rhythm and the timing of God. There's a set time. See, because if you get there before time, it'll cause you to wreck. So all the red light, come on now, let me talk to you now. All the red light, all the green light, and all the cautious light are for a reason. Some for you to slow down. You're trying to get there too fast. Some for you to stop, and some is for you to go ahead, go forward, green light. But they're supernatural lights. Those light work by what type of signal in the spirit are you sending to God? Praying in the spirit is a divine signal language. Is you and God talking in signal? There's no eavesdroppers. And you're telling God in that time what you don't understand, and God giving you understanding while you're talking with him. And he's showing you how to go over the enemy, around the enemy, or just go ahead and walk through him. You see it? See, we're talking about divine traffic. Now, we're praying in the spirit. Enable us to travel through divine traffic, mystery. Secrets. See, all that's divine traffic. Are you listening to me? Now, you're not going to find this in the book, so you better make a note. Unless I decide to write one about it. Now, I've read thousands of books, but when the Holy Spirit told me this afternoon, he says, tell my children, praying in the spirit, enable them to travel properly in divine traffic. Where my voice is, where my visitation is, where my vision is. Well, there's no redemptive word from God, the people perish. So you got to have a vision when you're doing. God give it through praying in the spirit. God let you walk in divine traffic. His vision is there. His voice is there. His visitation is there. See? So praying in the spirit become a vehicle to move through damnable things. Things that will damage. Oh, my goodness. Things that will damage your life cannot damage your life, because now you're traveling in a vehicle which say no damage. Just say no damage.
No damage.
No matter what you're going through, if you know how to function in the spirit, the damage will be handled by a power that is greater than the damage. God dog, man. Are y'all hearing me? We can go home right now.
Yes.
No more damage.
Amen.
No, because there's a corrected move you're going to make before your shipwreck. Say the same thing, you're going to run into that thing, but you can almost get there, and you'll get that divine, and you right on around. I've seen that happen so many times. So, here's some things to keep you synchronized with the timing of God. Never be disappointed. Never be discouraged. Never be distracted or detoured from the timing of God. He knows when to let or make it happen. Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4. He knows, 69. God answers some of y'all questions tonight, see. He knows when. He knows how to let it or when to let. Let me read it like I got it. He knows when to let or make it happen. All right, Galatians 4:4. See, there's a thing called the fullness of time. And you're not going to know it on your own, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent. Come on now. Let's stop right there. When the fullness of time was come, God sent. See? That's why religious folks had a problem with Jesus. Here's why they had a problem with Jesus. They were ready for something to happen, wasn't ready to happen. And they try to rush Jesus to do something, but Jesus, my time is not yet. You see? So it's run parallel. Every scenario you're dealing with in life has a time. And so when the fullness of time come, God sent. Or God sends. Come on. You hear me? God sends. When the fullness of time come. Why? Because now you're ready for it. And now it will not be taken from you. Because through the process you've learned a lesson. Or you received some instruction how to keep it from being taken from you. So like putting a notch in your sword. Putting a notch in your sword so you can handle it. So God planned for our lives a timing dependent. Watch out for frustration. Galatians 2:21. Watch out. Do not frustrate the grace of God or the favor of God. He knows what he is doing. Don't let that other person push you in the ditch. Tell my God, if I was you, I'd do just shut up. I'm listening for the Lord right now. How are we gonna agree? We don't know what to agree on. So watch frustration. We see we're dealing with synchronizing with God timing, right? Watch frustration at Galatians 2:21. I'll give you that. And he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Oh, that's scripture, 4:4. When the fullness of time comes, we got that. Yeah, all right, all right, all right. Watch frustration. Watch that which seemed like to be failure. How many of y'all ever been through that? You see, it just seemed like it. Just because your noodles can't figure it out, that doesn't mean it's not figured out. If you talk to God about it, this is the confidence we have in him. We ask anything according to his will. We know he is. We know we have the petition. Before we see it, before we feel it, before we wear it, before we drive it, before we sleep in it, or whatever. We have it, you see. See. So don't let frustration, what seemed like failure, don't let it bother you. Just keep praying in tongues. And then, definite, do not become fearful because you don't understand it. What a lesson, man. My God. My God. I mean, every dilemma, every dilemma, every tremor, everything seemed like it's not working out. If you just heard the few minutes we've been talking now, you ought to be encouraged. You must always remember God is in control. Even if you or I are out of wax, he's going to bring us back. You love him, don't you? So we got these two words. One, you see, we try to put God on time instead of timing. See the difference now? See, divine timing. So your watch, your clock, your calendar, your compass, your time clock, all the technologies you have, we have at this time, you know. The sand clock, you know, you turn it over, the sand thing, all of those things has nothing to do with God's timing. Because God's timing, listen, I'm going to repeat this to you. I want you to write it down. It's the right opportunity. or the right or opportune moment.
Oh, my God.
The right or opportune moment. Or the supreme moment. Now, when I married my wife, it was a supreme moment. I didn't know I was going to have this type of ministry. I was in a lot of traffic. I was in a lot of traffic, boy. You need 280 policemen and the fire truck and three ambulances because I was in a lot of crazy traffic. But God maneuvered me through that traffic. I know that's right, boy. It had to be God. I was too dumb to see it. You see what I'm saying? And so that's one example there. He'll get you through the traffic. All right. So, apostolically, I want to tell you this because we're very apostolic anointings are very rare in our day. And the supernatural is timing based. The supernatural is timing based. God's timing based is not based on time. It's based on time in. Got it? So that time you were frustrated and fearful, you were dealing with time. They say if you don't have it 4 to 14, all the bottom's gonna fall out. So what? Let it fall out. That's another bottom. But we get so people conscious. We don't really wanna even what we're trying to say, we don't want to say it, but we're so worried about what they're gonna say. Sometimes you just got to let it go, man. Just got to let it go. Just got to let it go. Don't care what nobody say. Don't ask me no question. I ain't got to talk about it. Mind your own business. So when we pray in the Spirit, it put us in alignment with the timing of God. Remember the traffic now. We're in traffic. We're in traffic. Not, oh, my. My, yes, Lord. Mysteries, secrets, rhythm, and timing. I said that the Spirit of God said, tell you is divine traffic. That's another traffic. Demonical traffic. You got to know how to travel through demons. So. In this prayer language is something that manifests called discernment. That you can see behind masks. Fronts. Facades. Look good. But you know this is not right. Something wrong. I'm about to shut down right here. I'm not going no further. Don't even feel right no more now. My mind not acting right. That's God warning you. That's the blinking light. Dealing with a time bomb. It'll go off any minute. Get back. Get out of here. Move out. Just add 20 years to your life. Yes, sir. What? Do you know the value of these nuggets the Lord given us? I'm not talking about me now. I'm talking about what God given us to put us in a position. When you're praying in the Spirit, you have those notes, and you call those things out. You know, tell God, saying, I'm not going to be frustrated by this thing. Don't look like it's working out, but I know I can't deal with this thing by January, February, and March. He has the whole world. Come on, come on. Ain't nothing for him to adjust the whole world just for you. I said God will adjust the movement. What? God adjust the whole movement of the whole world just for you. Come on, give God praise, man. Just think about it. Just think about how valuable, how good, how merciful, how gracious, how large God is. Just for you. God has shut a whole plant down just for you. Or he'll stop production. Now, we have a problem. We have a problem of feeding too much and not releasing enough. We come here, you come here tonight, you don't get fed. What are you going to do tomorrow? And see, I need to get you on this. We need to recognize everywhere we go, we are a potential blessing. We need to be ready to open our mouth. See, we're just soaking up, getting heavy with the word. But the Lord said to challenge you after this night, every chance or door open, in some way, the Spirit is going to show you how to testify or witness. And just when you get up in the morning, ask the Lord, all right, Lord, here we go. Whoever. My wife and I stopped to get a snack, and this young foreign boy. Now, this in this place we were, you didn't have nobody waiting on table because you get your stuff, you go to the table, you take your stuff and go put it up yourself. This young man came over about 16 years old, and he said real quietly, low keyed, he says, "Can I help you all in any way?" And right then, the Lord says, he came over for me to help him. And so I said, son, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? Like you say, he was a Buddha. His family was Buddha. He said, that's all I know, Buddha. I said, let me introduce you to a man called Jesus who can save you and change your life. And he says, okay. Led him to the prayer. He got saved. Now, you know what I did next? Give him a tip he couldn't forget. That's the way you do it. Yeah, so if you get a little weak in the spiritual side, you think about that tip, you see. So praying in tongue give a door of utterance, boldness in preaching and teaching. And Acts 4:31, I have to tap into this one. See, tongue is for effective service. If you don't use it in service, you're not going to get its full potential. Because if you skip this part, see, you don't have to, I'm not talking about going knocking people's doors tomorrow. No. Just go ahead where you're going. God got somebody set up there, you know. God will send somebody to your house. Wrong address. And you remember the Apostle Peter was transformed from a weak and dull believer to a great and powerful preacher after he spoke in tongues. He wasn't that fearful guy no more, you know. He preaching 3,000, God said. After speaking in tongues, he was able to boldly and fluently proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to do this. Apostolically, whatever I'm teaching you, if you don't begin to adhere to this revealed information right, you don't need to be talking to the Lord about what you want. Amen. The Lord wants you to know, grow up now and give me what I want. Yes. See, I just want you to make yourself available to me. Stop being selfish and self-seeking. Make yourself available to me so I can use the anointing that I place on your life. In this very ministry, you're being anointed for service. Okay? You may, you know, you may not help a poor person today. It may not be a person you get saved. It may be somebody that, that you get healed. Or somebody planning on suicide. And you give them a word. All right, so I want y'all to do that. Y'all going to do that?
Yes, sir.
All I ask you to do is, in the morning, when you pray at your prayer time, just tell God I'm available. And you've got some word in you, too. You need to get some of this word out. You need to make room for more. I tell you, we'll start doing this, it's going to grow this church. The reason this church is not growing is we're eating. And so we got drought constipation. But I'm giving all y'all some X-lack tonight. Y'all going to go out and do what you're supposed to do in the spirit. Go out there and do what you're supposed to do. Amen. Now, tongue, when you pray in tongue, it's sowed to the spirit. See, yeah, a sowing. You're sowing in the spirit. Oh, my, come on now. When you're praying in tongue, you're sowing in the spirit. In other words, there's a divine tilting going on when you pray in the spirit. You're sowing in the spirit. Let me give you a little insight on that. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, I'm going to read it out the WEST, WAS Expanded Translation. I think it's where you pronounce it. I'm going to read out because it bring it out about sowing in the spirit. Tongue sows to the spirit. Tilting the saw. For whatever man is in the habit of sowing, this also will he reap. Because the one who sows with a view to his own evil nature, for his evil nature as a soul shall reap corruption. But the one who sows with a view to the spirit, from the spirit as a source, shall reap eternal life. Eternal. Let me read that translation again. I mean, you're looking at the King James Version, but this is WEST translation. For whatever man is in the habit of sowing, this also will he reap. And we're talking about sowing in. When you're praying in tongue, you're sowing in the spirit. So what it means, you're going to get spiritual results. Or you're sowing supernaturally. You'll get supernatural results. Because the one who sows with a view to his own evil nature, for his evil nature as a soul shall reap corruption. But the one who sows with a view to the spirit, see, prayed out about Kalidia Choska, from the spirit as a source, shall reap eternal life, eternal. And you have to understand that, this reaping aspect of praying in the spirit. See. So he says, he that sows to the spirit shall out of the deposit of the spirit reap the superabundant life. So when you're praying in tongue, you're sowing in and to the spirit. According to Paul, when we pray, our spirit man is praying. And that's back to 1 Corinthians 14:2, and speaketh mysteries in the spirit. And so let me get this straight. If I'm praying in the spirit, and I'm praying mysteries or sowing mysteries, right? That means I have a mystery harvest. That means some things are about to happen in my life I can't fully explain. All I can say is God did it. You see, you want a lot of that in your life. You want a lot of that in your life where you got to say, God did it. See, you want that's what that's you want to give him the glory, give him the praise. He wants to do so much for you if he just can get you out the way. See, and praying in the spirit gets you out the way because now you're not articulating. Educationalizing. But you just speak it. And if you come to your natural mind when you're praying in tongues, you'll be so embarrassed. This sounds so crazy. Good God Almighty. And your natural mind says, what are you doing? Because it's losing control. See? So now, listen, praying in tongues is sowing in the spirit. Man, that's a powerful statement there, boy. Mine. Praying in tongue is making heavenly deposits. And out of those deposits, you're gathering great interest for a better future. I'm going to tell you that again now. You need to write some of this now. Praying in tongue is making heavenly deposits. You know what a deposit is. I hope you know it. You made a deposit every now and then, a deposit. And out of those deposits, you're gathering great interest for a better future. So praying in the spirit and sowing in the spirit are not waste time. Listen, praying in tongue is investing in yourself for better return. You even get better. Watch this. What you put in tongue stocks will pay good dividends in the short and long haul. Yeah, God give divine interest. Hallelujah. Now, here's another aspect I believe I can get to tonight to make you see the importance of praying in the spirit, of praying in tongues. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I really want you to get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Hurry up. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All right? Now, watch what I say now. When you're praying in the spirit, tongue is pulling the treasure out of you. I wrote a note, praying in the spirit is drilling for spiritual oil. You know, oil is one of the things talking about the Holy Spirit, you see. So through tongue, when we're praying in the spirit, we pull on the treasure that is resident inside of us. God. There's a spirit in man that receives inspiration. So you pull all that inspiration out. You pull all that divine information out. Dream. Vision. your mind keep telling you you can't do. But you start pulling them treasures out. Watch this now. Your spirit is the chamber that holds the treasures of God. So there's treasure in you that you probably will never get out unless you come to this point. Now watch what I'm about to say. There's treasure in you, and tongue is the avenue to drill the treasure all out of you. Some of my greatest moments praying in the spirit, boy, some things come out. I said, whoa, good God Almighty. Sometimes I got to leave out of one room and run to the other one, and I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to grasp this thing. And see, a lot of promotion this ministry had come from praying in tongues. Praying in the spirit. A lot of move was made that wouldn't have been made naturally, but after hours of praying in the spirit, push the button. I push the button. Lord said, push the button. I said, I push it. I know I couldn't do nothing about it, so I just push it. He said, push it. But I got in a rim where I could trust him. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. Yeah, I could trust him. I knew I could trust him. So he said, push the button. And everything said, no, don't hit the button. Nothing going to work. I pushed it. Don't be afraid to push the button. Not when the Lord tell you to do it. So we go right into, and pull the treasure out of you. So, rabakata lo koshikete la baso koshete. Treasure being pulled out. Yeah. Supernatural treasure. Yeah. Now, one of the grandest ways of trusting God is praying in the Spirit. The elders or the patriarchs used to talk about getting lost in the Spirit. I tell you, getting lost means being found, you know. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. That's losing your life. When you lose your life, what you do? What gain in the spirit? And so when you get lost in the spirit, you've lost that flesh. You've lost fear. You've lost what other people think. Oh my, I feel the Holy Ghost, boy. Oh glory to God. You've got in a position where you just don't care. Because you know it's all right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just hope you're hearing what God is saying. You know, Proverbs 3:5. Praying in tongue is leaning on God. Praying in tongue is leaning on God. Praying in tongue is trusting God. Trusting the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. You see that? You got to see that, but I'm about to show you next. You know it, but I'm about to show you something else next. Trust in the Lord all thine heart. And what he said, and lean not to what? Now, as long as you're in the natural, what you going to do? Yeah. And as long as you listen to them 6 phone calls with no anointing, what you going to do? Lean on your come on, I'm in agreement with you. In agreement with me for what? I need to know how to get out of this hole, girl. You're talking about you in agreement. All right, here it is now. Proverbs 3:5. You got that? Yes, all right, 1 Corinthians 14:14. Well, I'm laughing at you if you don't catch it. See, you see what he says? Well, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful, so I'm not leaning on my understanding anymore. I've moved into what you call spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding, I understand that God can handle this. See? If I understand that if this don't work out, God's going to create another one. See, it's a divine dependency. Come with, Ephesians 1, I think it is. You know, talk about that understanding, supernatural understanding. How, what it says, 1:17, Ephesians 1:17, I think it is. The eyes of understanding being enlightened. So when you're praying in the spirit, the eyes of your understanding, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Keep going. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. You're not leaning on your own understanding. You cannot use mathematics with God. Algebra don't work. Geometry does not work. God, you can't figure him out. Watch me now. You can't, listen, here's a word. You can't figure him out. You have to flow with it. Your biggest problem is trying to figure it out. Lean, man. Lean on him. He love it. And one of the disciples that loved Jesus, he always was laying on John. He always had his head on Jesus. He said, Lord, who betrayed you? Laid his head on his bosom, on his chest, he said. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Might have to come to a closing place. Leaning upon our own understanding leads to leaning upon our flesh, which God has warned against. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man. He already cursed. And maketh the flesh his arm, and whose heart have departed from the Lord. Sixth verse says what? Go ahead, say it. Read it. Shall not see when good cometh. What? Blind is a bat, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Give me the next verse. What? I don't want to be there. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see it?
Yes,
I wish you did come here with a hopeless condition. May the Holy Ghost slap you side your head and get you to understand who you really are and what potentials you have if you pursue the things of God properly. Come on, class, you awake? Do you understand or have you understood the route apostolically that we have taken tonight?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Here's another way to say it. And here's something you can use. When we pray in tongues, we are not consulting with the conclusion of our understanding, but leaning upon the understanding and ways of God. You want me to say that again?
Yeah.
You going to get it if I say it again?
Yeah.
All right. When we pray in tongues, we are not consulting with the conclusion of our understanding. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
But leaning upon the understanding and ways of God. You ready for this? Come on, we'll get you something else. May you sleep none tonight. Because I know that time, I got up, was 3:07 this morning. I said, that's it. I mean, scripture's just running. That's it. I got 3 or 4 hours. That's enough. So I just got up and watched day come, praying in tongue and searching the scripture. Tongue, or praying in the spirit, is the Holy Spirit searching your heart and praying through you the perfect will of God. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, my, that time passed so fast. But I'm going to get one more cross. Praying in tongue, and I'm going to have to explain this one because it's not a normal pattern here, is blowing the ram's, R-A-M, positive, horn. In the Old Testament, the ram horn was blown to call an assembly to war, to worship, to stir a panic in the camp of the enemy, and to announce a victory. So you see what you're doing? When you're praying in tongue, you're calling an assembly of war. You're setting forth worship. You understand me? And when you're praying in tongue, you're stirring panic in the camp of the enemy. And while you're praying, you're announcing your victory all at the same time. Oh, my God. My God. You see, class, tongue is the blast that will bring down the wall that Satan has erected in our lives to block us. See, it tear walls down. Praying in the spirit. You know how the people surrounded Jericho wall and shouted on the seventh day? We must learn to encircle. Yes, my clothing. We must learn to encircle our situation with tongues to bring the wall down. Not praying in tongues. That situation, you know. You've got to write it down. Write that situation down. Start circling it with tongues. Enlightenment. Leaning on God, all this stuff that manifests itself in your life. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Got it, Paul. See, I'll repeat some. I need to repeat some of these things. But I want you to remember, every time you're praying in the spirit, you're traveling correctly through divine traffic. Mysteries no longer will be mysteries. Secrets will no longer be secret. What God knows will become available for you to know. What? What God see will come available for you to see. What God is saying and hearing become available for you to hear and say. What God understand becomes your understanding. It's available to you because you're a child of God. We just got to grow. And you grow by knowing and acting on what you know. Now, this should have expanded your desire to pray in the spirit. You didn't hear everything I said. And then God say more. But you need to go over these notes. Go back over them when you're praying. And just say, this is what I'm doing right here. This is what the apostle said. This is what I'm doing right here. I'm not going to frustrate myself tomorrow.
Amen.
I don't care what comes. I'm not going to get in frustration because I don't want to frustrate God. Everything's not going to work out every day all right. You ought to know that. And on you top of your world, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have scenarios. You're going to have situations that you can't handle.
Amen.
God said, that's what I'm for.
Yes.
That's what Jesus for. That's what the blood for. That's what the Holy Spirit for. That's what the sword of the Spirit is for.
Yes.
To handle this for you.
Yes.
This world not going to get right. So don't get all upset because they're gonna pass all kind of laws. They're going to pass what's not right and stop what's right. Because they're leaning on their own understanding. They're getting the information from themselves. And then the devil help them. So don't you get so frustrated you can't eat your food. Go on, eat. These people are going to act a flat clown in this world. They're going to get worse and worse and worse. Sure, we ought to pray. But I tell you what.
I ain't wasting my time praying if they don't understand, they don't want to turn. The heathen world, if you can't get them saved, they're going to live like heathen. Deceived Christians are going to live like heathen. And we could pray for them and try to pull them back, but I'm not going to take my intercessors and have them praying about this and that bill. Them people already made their mind up. Remember, it's two worlds. Remember this, I'm closing. The natural world and the word world. We must live in the world of the word. Help as many as we can, but I'm not going to go crazy because they signed some stupid bill, because that's normal for them. I pray that people don't get caught up in it. You know, I'm not going to give up on people, but you're going to have this world. This world going to fail. It's failed. That's why he could look for a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle. All right, lift your hand and praise God. Let's get ready to give.